Joe Gomez throws it short to Szoboszlai. Got to get the ball in. Got to get the ball in the box. And now he turns.
Now you can do it.
Lifts in a good ball. Header! Great save!
Yes!
McAllister has done it again!
Yes! Don't you disallow that!
Justice!
Don't you disallow that!
Justice is done! Come on! Get in there! What an end to this game!
Late, late drama at the City Ground, which moves Liverpool level on points with fourth place Chelsea and fifth place Manchester United ahead of United facing Everton at the Hill Dickinson on Monday night. I'm Matt Smith, and coming up in this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Virgil van Dijk, Reds legends Phil Thompson and Gary Gillespie, and our fan panel. First, though, to David Thompson, who watched the game with Peter McDowell at the City Ground.
Yeah, welcome into the inner sanctum, as you can imagine. We are stood just a few yards away from Liverpool's dressing room, which maybe is not as loud as you would expect, but it's absolute silence at just the other end of the tunnel where Nottingham Forest players are concerned. Your overwhelming emotion at the end of that, bearing in mind, Tomo, that you've been a player as well, how will it feel in there, despite the lack of noise?
Oh, I think they'll be absolutely delighted. They know the performance wasn't great today. They'll probably feel like they've got out of jail and got away with it a little bit. I feel like we didn't deserve it. The performance didn't warrant it. We looked a little bit flat today, but absolutely we'll take it. And like we was talking about before, it's up to the lads now to take this momentum. I mean, that was a gift there today. Take that 3 points and try and kick on now. That's a sign that they deserve to be in the top five and get this Champions League. So go and grasp it and take this momentum and move forward.
We spoke about that momentum before the game, didn't we? It's almost football's secret potion. You don't know how to get there, but when you do it, it feels probably like a completely different dressing room than it did at half-time.
Absolutely, yeah. They were up against it. You know, we were a little bit flat. You know, the formation was against us. Their formation. They went with a 4-2-3-1. We thought they were going to go with a back five or a back three. They didn't. They surprised us a little bit. They went with a full press and man-for-man press at times, which was really difficult, especially in these windy conditions. It's difficult to get hold of the ball. And I thought it was difficult conditions. We never really had the answers today, but I thought the substitutions made a hell of a difference. The gaffer, you know, changed it. He brought Rio on there. He was getting into in them wide areas and taking people on with a little bit of confidence, putting crosses into the box, and that McAllister disallowed goal came from that chance. So I thought it was Robbo made a difference when he come on. Joe Gomez made a
long
difference
throws.
With the long throws. You know, it's about sometimes, you know, they went to a low block in the second half. They had to because we were so dominant with possession, and sometimes the answers to break down a low block are your long throws, your crosses into the box, picking up your second balls and getting them secondary chances, what we did. And we took advantage of it, so we'll take them 3 points and move forward. I'm absolutely delighted.
The grit and determination it takes with the disappointment of the first goal being ruled out to go again, you know, particularly Alexis McAllister doesn't get many, and probably an element of the game struggled today, in fairness.
Yeah, he did. It was probably one of his poorest games, but I think, you know, bringing Rio on, bringing Robbo on, Chiesa on, you know, it freed him up a little bit to make them runs into the box. And sometimes, you know, you might not be having your best game, but you can still make the difference. And he was the difference today. And, you know, we stayed in the game for long periods of time. And that was thanks to Virgil and Konate. At times they were solid, heading all the balls clear and making tackles, you know, doing the right things. Thought Konate was brilliant second half. So it's these sorts of things, you know, these are the positives now. We didn't deserve the 3 points, but we've got them. Take him. Let's move on.
Just finally, this is the business end of the season now. It doesn't matter about performances too much, does it, if you go home with all the points? Of course, the manager's a perfectionist. He will want them to play better, but it's all about results now, the final 11 Premier League games of the season.
Yeah, I was thinking that on the way to from the press box now as I was walking in. It is all about just getting the 3 points. It's not about the performance now. You know, we can take the confidence of the Sunderland game. You know, we've seen large parts of the identity creeping back into the team. Same with Brighton, we scored a few goals. Today's a little bit difficult. This is not an easy place to come. You know, our record shows that. I think we've only won once in 15 games, so twice in 16 now. So we can take that positive. But we take the positive from the performance previously, but we can take the positive for the result now. And you're right, it is about getting the results now and getting the points on the board. And then that'll give you that momentum to keep kicking on and finish the season off strong.
It was an uncomfortable watch at times, but great endings, like football sometimes gives you those moments. I had to drag him back into his seat, by the way, because we were sat right in the middle of the Nottingham Forest fans.
It wouldn't be the first time I've had a clip round here, you know, for jumping up in the away end.
But listen, great to see you, Tomo, and thanks for being with us. Thanks for your company.
It's a pleasure.
Back to you guys in the studio.
Thanks, fellas. They're lucky to keep Tomo off the pitch, and he lives in that area. So think they've just about got their breath back. Phil Thompson and Gary Gillespie are here with me in the studio. Let's get straight to the emotion, shall we? It was 3 points, Phil, however it came. It was mad.
I think we're at that point in the season. Mm. And you look at the league table and it is at that point where performances you're not looking at, sort of how they go. It's points at the moment. Mm. We said a couple of weeks ago that we need to get on a run of games, no matter how they come. And I think today was one of them, yeah. I can tell you.
It was, and it was... Before we get to the last 5 or 10 minutes, it was very much a game of two halves again from Liverpool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was probably one of the worst 45 minutes I've seen Liverpool play this season in the first half. They were absolutely awful. They were second to everything, second to headers, second to tackles, second to second ball. It was just like, it was woeful. I don't really know if the manager said anything at half time. They came out a little bit better. But let's face it, apart from what the last 10 minutes of the game, it was a pretty dull encounter, to be quite honest with you. Nottingham Forest, yeah, they played their part in that first half, but never really threatened Liverpool that much either, to be quite honest with you. And Liverpool, as I say, as bad as they were, Forest couldn't take advantage of it. And you take the last 10 minutes out of that game and the extra time, then you've got a pretty dull affair. But in saying that, as Tomo rightly says, it's not about like performances. Sometimes it's about getting results, and like the 3 points, it sets us up really well for the rest of the season.
Again, that slow start. I don't know what it is about when they have a week off. Can they not organise a midweeker against you all boys? Something to keep them moving.
I don't know where they've been. I don't know what's happened. But you were wanting, and setting the commentary with Steve Hunter there. You were wanting a quick start.
Yeah.
After them playing, you needed to impose yourself, and it never happened. We were sloppy. Gary said everything about second balls, passing, press, nothing was going right. And if you get like that, I think they sensed it. Nottingham Forest gone, oh, these are here for the taking. So they were going at us, ball was breaking. Every time we were giving it away, Morgan Gibbs-White was getting in between the lines. And it was like one calamity after another. And that's why I thought at half time, getting away with it, we had to get better in the second half. And maybe it wasn't great, it certainly wasn't. We were better, we were in the game. And we'll probably come to it, the substitutions, I think. Yeah. Maybe not Chiesa, but Rio did well, and Joe Gomez.
Mm. Yeah. I suppose, I don't know if either of you had a change forced on a starting 11 with someone in the warm-up feeling something, as happened with Florian Wirtz today. Can that throw a group of players, a set-up?
Yeah, it's difficult to...
Is that an excuse?
It's difficult to put your finger on that, whether it was. It might have done because, I mean, he's been such a key individual for Liverpool over the last, like, 4 or 5 games or so, that maybe it had some sort of effect. Hopefully it's not too serious, because the last thing that Liverpool needed, like any more injuries, we'll have to wait and see what it actually was. But it maybe threw them a little bit, but I think we're looking maybe for excuses for that performance in the first half, where maybe it's not such an excuse, to be quite honest with you.
But he's a player who can get hold of the ball, wasn't he, Gary?
Yeah, possibly.
Because we weren't getting possession anywhere. We needed somebody to get the foot on the ball to try and get something going. There's one thing he does, it's that. But the other thing that I would say is, how did it affect Curtis?
Yeah.
Because Curtis coming into it for Wirtz was caught in possession that many times in that first 15-20 minutes. It seemed to be affecting more than anybody.
It's not about getting possession. Like, I mean, it's about winning your challenges, winning your tackles, being first to like the ball.
We were miles off it in the first 45.
Did we, by default, if you like, end up maybe finding out something we discussed pre-match, you and I, Gary, with Roddy, that actually Zobosla and Curtis, if you've got a choice, they find that actually you're better off sacrificing Curtis to an extent if you have to at right back, because Szoboszlai is needed in the middle of the pitch.
Well, I said it in the build-up to the programme. For me, Joe Gomez has got to play right full-back. I think you look a far more balanced outfit with Joe Gomez at right full-back, and then you have to make the decision, obviously, who plays in the middle of the park. But if you've got a right-back sitting on the bench... Now, whether it's because he wants to protect Joe with regards to his injuries or not, I'm not 100% sure. But if you're looking to play somebody at right full-back, play Joe Gomez. Simple as.
Yeah. I get the reason why he's not doing it. Joe's become so brittle that he wants to protect him. I think he wants to get more, not minutes in games, but more minutes in training to try and build him up to see what he's like. Joe seems to extend himself when he's first come in, i.e. Plymouth, he goes, and so I can see where he's doing. So listen, Gary, I would imagine he wants to play Joe, but he's thinking to himself, he's got to pick the right time for him. And but the Dominic Szoboszlai thing, it was screaming for it. We said in the commentary, this has to happen. I'm not saying it was great, made, but within sort of 1 minute, all of a sudden, the change happened. Why? Because of the press. And I think one of the first things that Dominic Szoboszlai did was close down the keeper, miss it, and we had our first opportunity of the half. And it just wasn't working the way it was. And I get it with Joe, but everybody would say quite easily, Joe should be playing right back.
On the late madness... thank goodness, first and foremost, for Ola Aina's left foot, because I think that plays Virgil van Dijk on, doesn't it, for what turns out to be the winning goal.
His toenail.
His toenail, thank you. Yeah. On the previous bit of madness to that, do you have a different view, you two, on what happened?
No. Yeah, well, please, Gary.
Well, when you look at it, I mean, like, there's a certain angle when you look at it, it looks as if it comes off his back. But then there's an angle that they show you, it definitely comes off his elbow. And if it comes off his elbow, it's a handball, regardless if it's deliberate or not. That's the letter of the law, it's a rule, and it was rightly chopped off.
Gary, what happens to the close proximity? What happens to, he's not even looking that way? No. What the hell? No, come on, Gary, this is...
All of those things, as far as I know, Phil, do apply unless a goal is scored directly from the intervention of the arm. However, unintentional.
To me, it is debatable where that catches him. If it's catching him in between, it's done a disservice to football, disallowing something like that. It is. This is not the game that we love. This is not the game that we know. People play this game to high stakes. You can't have people making those decisions. That is a goal in any era whatsoever. No, don't get me started, Gary. Please, I know they've disallowed it, but it shouldn't be. It should not be disallowed.
In an ideal world, Tomo,
football is wrong if that's...
With the introduction of VAR and the new regulations, rules and laws, not a goal, it's chopped off. It's got to be chopped off. You can't just make, for the good of the game.
Made up things.
There's loads of things for the good of the game that shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen like all the tussling and like wrestling that goes on in the penalty box when there's a free kick or a corner. That's rubbish. Oh, players going down pretending like they've been tackled and they're injured. That shouldn't happen in the game, but it does.
And
it's part and parcel of the game.
That's rubbish. It was a goal.
Well, the fact of the matter is,
how did I think when I came in here after doing the commentary that you were going to?
I watched it on the television, and I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. For the first three replays, when I saw it, when it showed you from behind the goal, it did look as if it came off his back, right? But then they showed you a different angle, and you can clearly see that his elbow actually moves when the ball is hit against it. And it did come off his upper arm. Definitely, 100%.
Interesting. Should we? I think, can we bring the panel in and get their view? Because obviously we've got a nice, if you like, difference of opinion in here.
If either of you three agree with this fella here.
Chris will agree with me.
Right, let's start with Chris. Chris Coughlin, what did you? Are you with Tom or are you with Gary Gillespie here?
Hi guys, first of all. When it got determined as accidental handball, I was rather frustrated at that, just because accidental, he's clearly not meant for the ball to go in off there. McAllister's just made the motion to block the ball, hasn't he? He's gone to put his make himself as big as possible, while also his arm is still very much within the proximity of his body, by the way. And it just happens to hit that part of his body and fly in the back of the net. So I think definitely the frustration was added to the fact that I was making notes throughout the game, and there was a lot of, you know, basically feeling that Liverpool perhaps didn't really deserve to win the game, but nevertheless had done enough to look like they'd got over the line at that moment, obviously. But I can see it from both sides. Maybe you think I'm sitting on the fence a little bit more, but I'm...
Yeah, Chris, you're sitting on the fence.
I get Chris, what Gary means.
Chris,
because
Chris,
I'm
just with, agree with
Tom,
me.
I'm like, look, I wanted the goal to be scored, didn't I? So... Oh, it's very tough. I can understand it, but now we don't have to focus on it as much.
Well, you that's a good point. Yes, it kind of drifts into the background a little bit more, but it is an interesting talking point. Whilst we're on the thorny topic, Paul, over the pond in Delaware, was it chaos where you were, and what did you and everyone else think?
Well, so I'm with 30 people who were definitely not agreeing with Gary. They were people super obsessed about them being disallowed. And you know, I get the technically we're doing the VAR thing, but I feel like we're only doing the VAR thing often when it's Liverpool. Like, I feel like, you know, another team to be named later would have got that as a goal.
Yeah, interesting. Although I think most fan bases feel like that ball one way or another. Courtney, what about your take?
I think for me it was also as well, yeah, there's like back sort of to the goal. It wasn't like he was away as much as they're trying to make out by giving it as a handball. And like Chris said, it is, for me, not in an unnatural position, which they constantly go on about. I could understand if it was a European game, it being given as a handball. But with the Premier League rules, they don't seem as fair, especially in this moment for me, because it's like, it's to his side, his back's to the goal.
Close
like,
proximity, Courtney.
Turned. What?
Close proximity.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's not on purpose. It's not like he's moved to it. It's not like Maradona style handball where you see him full on going over to it. But
that was a good goal.
Yeah,
as well.
It's one of those. I think it's one of those. It is 50-50 where if it's against your team, you're like, that's a handball every day. If it's for your team, we're all like, that should have been a goal. Yeah. Luckily, like Chris said again, it doesn't matter because he come back, scores again, and exact same celebration from as well.
My understanding of the law is that if it hits your hand and it's a goal, it goes in the goal. Regardless if it's intentional, your hand's by your side, regardless of like any of that, it's not a goal.
That is the directive. However unfair you might feel that is,
however unfair you might feel.
If they decide it's hit his arm, it can't stand. I know that infuriates you no end, Phil, but that is... seemingly what the refs are told.
Can you get somebody else in? Can you get somebody else in? Is anybody walking the streets out there who we can allow in here instead of Mr. Gillespie?
It does seem to be 3.5-1 in here, although I'm hearing what you're saying,
we're
Gary.
We're all going to do it. I always say Gary tries to be the voice of reason. Mm. But this time it's not. Again, what the people saying is his arms down by its side. Does it hit the joint of the back? That's, and the arm. Yeah. The arm's down by the side. He's looking completely the other way.
Yep.
And I just feel the looking VAR is more and more trying to look to disallow goals than they do. But VAR give our goal.
Well, that's what we're coming on to. They did get the outcome eventually they wanted, although there was that sinking feeling again, wasn't the same kind of situation. McAllister on the follow-up after Van Dijk's header was saved. He shoots it home, and then the offside debate or measurements begin.
It was such a hard one to see, wasn't it? Because there were so many bodies in there, and even when like they went to like the VAR, you couldn't see Aina, who was right behind Virgil van Dijk. And in fairness to Matt, you said it more or less straight away that you thought that you felt that Aina was behind them, and you just thought that there was a trailing leg that was actually playing.
You hoped
Virgil van Dijk, which proved like very much the case.
Well, looking and doing it with Steve, we're looking away absolutely dejected because once we've seen it and you see Virgil, you go, wow, he's
miles
half,
off.
His whole body.
Him and Ekitike looked miles off, didn't
our
they?
Our hearts just sunk. Yeah. We were like down, we were thinking, oh no, this can't happen again. Yeah. So we sat back thinking, this is going to be 0-0. Mm. Lo and behold, the wonderful people at VAR who drew the lines. They must have got somebody else in, by the way.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because I think apparently Paul Tierney, was it Paul Tierney? He went for a cup.
He went for a cup of tea.
Yeah.
They maybe thought because like they made a mistake in like the first one. Like,
yeah, I think that was a good idea.
I hope they don't think like that.
Hey, what do you mean you don't?
Well,
they
because
don't
if they were
like
to apply
that
on another day, it could cost you. You know,
some of the decisions they make.
Well, that one it turned out worked out pretty well for Liverpool. Not sure they deserved it, but yeah, as you've both agreed. Said at the start. Maybe that doesn't entirely matter at this point of the season. You've put the little bit of pressure that you can on Chelsea and Manchester United.
It was slightly unjust on Nottingham Forest. Mm. So overall, you would say they were the better team. They were. They wanted it more, which was disappointing for me.
Yeah.
They wanted it. They were at it. We were none of those things for too long, too passive in a lot what we did. So you would fit... Pereira, as you've seen him on the touchline, he was absolutely sort of devastated, which you would see in your team play so well and not get anything. Maybe a better team today would have took advantage of the possession that they had.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
I agree with that, yeah. yeah. As much as it pains me to do so. No, I mean, we were fortunate, but like sometimes, I mean, we've had plenty of misfortune like throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Late goals that have cost Liverpool. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, the last time we actually won here, I think was Nunez that we scored.
Yes.
He scored in the 99th minute or something like that. So it's obviously like a ground where we can score late. But as I said in the build-up, I think it's one victory, well, it's two victories now in like 16 league appearances down later the City ground. So it's not an easy place for us to go.
You're right.
So to get a result like that should be a big boost for us.
I'm Ian Mulvey, and I just wanted to remind you not to miss the Premier League preview show on LFC TV and All Red Video. As well as all the best pre-match stats and interviews, the show includes live coverage of the boss's pre-match press conference. Oh, and they have great guests too. So that's the Premier League preview show. It's live, usually on Friday mornings, but check the listings each week for exact timings. Up the Reds.
Welcome back to The Reaction. We can hear now from Virgil van Dijk, who's been speaking with Peter McDowell.
Well, Skip, well done. It'll feel like one of the biggest wins of the season, that I'm sure.
Yeah, listen, it feels definitely nice to win here. Very difficult ground in my opinion to come. Very poor first half from all of us, with and without the ball. I think you saw the desire to not concede. That was obviously maybe the only positive thing. But I think the second half we turned it around. I think we were much more comfortable on the ball, without the ball as well. Obviously, you still know that Forest can be dangerous in set pieces and the quality they have, the confidence they had from midweek. And I think we did well, especially second half. And now it's and obviously then towards the end, it's just a great feeling to win and be on the good side for. Since for once in a long time.
What was that change then that you make at the break? Is that just a collective thing that you just need to be a little bit braver on the ball? I think it was 80% possession second half for most of it.
It's a combination of that, I think. Obviously it all starts with winning your battles, winning the challenges, and obviously when you have the ball, make the right decisions. And it's not always easy to do that, especially in the first half, where obviously a lot of players are still fresh and they run and they press and they go 1v1s, and if you are late in challenges or if you're late in possession, if you lose the ball too easy, then obviously they create momentum. But like I said already, I think the second half we did it much better. We found the triangles, we rotated well in the middle, we got our wingers a lot of times in the 1v1s. I don't think we created real clear-cut chances, but obviously Hugo's was massive. We should have scored, but in the end, we got the winner, and that's the most important thing.
Body's on the line; it will get headlines, will it? But you know, Robbo makes a big block before we go up the other end. You take one in the back of the head as well. You know, it looked like a heavy one. That.
Yeah, listen, but it is. You know, Forest always will make it tough for you, and can't forget what they did to us at Anfield. So. We had to show a reaction, and I'm glad we won here. I'm glad we won in the difficult ground with great fans and a good atmosphere, and especially when there is a goal disallowed and the fans get behind it, create momentum, and the way we acted and reacted to that, I think was
It's a big credit to the guys.
It's elite, that though, elite mentality, isn't it? When you have that disappointment of a goal being chalked off late on, to go again and get that one right at the death.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Listen, the game is not over until it's over, and we have the quality to decide games, and we needed, obviously, first a couple of long throw-ins from Joey, but in the end, obviously, the ball from Dom was quality. I think I was just onside, and Maka just had to finish it off, so happy days.
Just finally then, it's about winning games now, isn't it? Performances can't always be brilliant, but you go to Sunderland, their record was absolutely brilliant prior to that. This, like you say, a really difficult place to come. You get 6 points from both games.
Yeah, no, outstanding, and I think obviously we wanna play our best football, and I think at times in the games we are definitely doing that, but obviously we still are looking for improvement, and we're not perfect. You know, we're human beings, and we want to do the best for the club. We want to be performing on the absolute highest level, and we need each other in their best and possible way. And it's a process, but we keep going, focus on the next one. And it will be a difficult one again on the weekend. So on to the next.
Well done, Skip.
Cheers.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, West Ham at Anfield next weekend, and then two trips to Wolves in League and FA Cup. They need to organise a midweek game against somebody. Can't be having 6 and 7 days off again, Phil.
No, I'll tell you, if that's the reaction that we've done, and people always say, oh, it's great because you can do more training and everything, but you've got to marry it with giving them a bit of rest. Mm. And sometimes, as you say, Forest were playing in Fenerbahce on Thursday, and they've come back. It's a big game for them. And they probably didn't want to have sort of Sunderland at home or Crystal Palace at home. Liverpool, you don't have, the new manager doesn't have to motivate them. So you know that's going to happen. But we have to understand that we have to start quick.
Yeah.
It should be down to us that we impose ourselves on them very, very quickly in the game. And you get them worried. Mm. Oh, God, we haven't got the legs. Mm. You could see them as the second half was wearing on. They were getting tired. Mm. That is quite obvious. But we just weren't. To me, it's the old phrase. We weren't at it, and we've got away with one, I think, overall. But it was, as Virgil said, their better second half.
And that's the head scratcher, isn't it? What changes from first half to second half to get better? Can you bottle that? But also, why so often do they sleepwalk into games and give opposition encouragement?
Yeah, it's a question of pure, like, the manager's, like, actually scratching his head with and, like, saying, well, why? I don't know exactly what was said at half time, but they did come out the second half a lot better. You know, I think throughout the course of this season, we've played a lot better and got beat in games than what we played today. And that's what happens throughout the course of the season. You'll get games like where you really are poor and you maybe get the bounce of the ball and luck goes for you. That was today. And then there's other games where you really dominate, you create chances, just don't take them, and, like, the opposition get a free kick or a corner or something like that. So we've had plenty of them. So, yeah, I think we deserve a little bit of, like, good fortune.
Absolutely. And as two defenders, you both nodded when the point was made that Konate and Van Dijk at least provided a rearguard action.
No, absolutely. In that first half, when we were under pressure, you want your centre-backs to be strong. Go back to the old adage, if your two centre-backs are strong, everybody else can be having a nightmare. You can get a result. Mm. And I think that proved it beyond doubt today, because they headed everything. They were there. There was one little where Virgil just nicked it off Jesus.
Yeah.
Just nicked it off him just before he was going to score. And you go, oh, well, yeah, he's just got... He did it. He knows if he slide tackles or something like that, possibility of a penalty, possibility of the ball going somewhere. But he just nicked it straight into the path. It was excellent. And also... Milos Kerkez, I thought, had another good game today. People, I was a bit surprised when he came off. But obviously, Robbo, to see it out with his more experience, I think that was it. But Kerkez, I thought, done really well.
Yeah. I mean, Konate is a confidence player, isn't he? When he believes in what he's doing and he feels the love around him, he seems to grow. He had one rampaging run. He looked like Joel Matip at one point in the second half.
Yeah, I think he struggled at the beginning of the season, but, like, he wasn't the only Liverpool player that struggled like that early on. I think he's grown into, like, the form that we saw last year, and his partnership with, like, Virgil van Dijk has been pretty key to, like, to the way Liverpool have re-emerged themselves, reinvented themselves as well. And I think when these two play well together, then, like, you can see that Liverpool can get results by keeping clean sheets. Konaté for me sometimes is just gets a little bit overzealous, a little bit over eager, and gives silly free kicks away. But we forget how young he actually is at this moment in time. From a centre back's point of view, I think you're 26, 27, 28 is probably your mature and your best years. You've still got a wee while to go to get to that. And playing alongside Virgil van Dijk, well, I think me and Tomo would look good alongside Virgil van Dijk.
I'm not sure about you.
Let's go back to our panel, if we can, to Chris, to Paul and Courtney, who are still able to join us from their respective vantage points. Chris, is the glass half full or half empty for you as a follower at the moment?
Oh, half full.
Good.
If anything, it's fully full after that. I think, honestly, after the City game, and there was a bit of a gap, looked like it was starting to emerge between us and Chelsea United, I didn't feel great, if I'm honest. But then the midweek games happened, with Chelsea United both dropping points and getting the brilliant win at Sunderland, and now Chelsea, obviously, the way they dropped points yesterday and the fantastic win today, it just feels a lot better. I'm not all of a sudden saying it's going to be a winning run to the end of the season and you know, conquering. I'm not saying that at all, but it's absolutely such a better feeling considering the Sunderland game. If things had gone a different way, it could have been a 3 or 4 game, but today was all about getting the result. Totally, I agree with what Tomo said earlier about results now. Absolutely. It's funny, obviously, two distinguished centre halves in the studio, and it's almost worth putting Virgil van Dijk up front at the moment with his impact at the other end of the pitch. But absolutely. A lot of the notes I made during the game were notes of frustration, notes of agreeing with what you said, Matt, about almost looking like Liverpool were the team that played in Europe in the week. It looked leggy. Forest were a lot more aggressive. But Liverpool rode the storm really, really well. Alisson, apart from the early save from Hudson-Odoi, didn't have too much to do. That has to be mentioned. And ultimately, Liverpool maybe sensed a bit of a chance to attack later on in the game. I thought Rio Mungamoa was fantastic when he came on, really put that energy into the game, and I'd love to see more of him, but I appreciate he's a young lad and obviously got to be integrated into the team. But then when you score a 97th minute winner in a game that you maybe quite correctly, as you all have said, maybe Liverpool didn't deserve to win, absolutely, I'm over the moon right now. I really am.
Great. So cup full, about to be empty by the sounds of it. Paul, are you able to bring yourself to cheer on Everton against Manchester United tomorrow night?
That's a tough one. if they get a point, that's fine, right?
Okay.
A draw will be fine for us. That means split, so we don't have to. We don't want to take sides in a game with Everton and Man United, right? We don't want to be in that position. So if it's a draw, I think much better about that. I'm always in the glass half full mode. I'm like, that's 3 clean sheets in a row. I'm struggling kind of early in the season. We're back in the mode of scoring. We're scoring the last minute goals as opposed to conceding the last minute goals. So that's huge. I also think I heard Ole Gunnar talk earlier in the season about teams setting up differently. Well, you know, we've got a new manager. And so I wonder how much of the first half was really figuring out how Forest were going to play. Also, don't have a great record at the City Ground, like historically. I don't know if Gary and Phil remember too many wins there, but you know, it felt like an easy place to go, you know, even when they weren't very good. So I'm totally glass half full, and a point for United will be fine. We'll catch them. I'm sure we'll catch them.
Nicely put. And Courtney, the point about late goals, merit aside, when you concede them, it bursts your balloon, doesn't it, as a supporter base, as a whole football club. When you get them, they go for you. It creates that little bit of relief and then momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, coming off the fact we've had some decent results lately, this was a game where that first half, I think we were all sort of surprised it was still 0-0 and Forest hadn't scored. To then get a last minute winner in that makes it even bigger, because it shows grit from the team that they can go and they can drive out that win. And the performance wasn't necessarily the best, but sometimes that's going to happen and you just need to keep going, keep trying. And they showed that today and ended up with that last minute goal. You could argue 2 last minute goals, but we've already had that discussion earlier on. But yeah, it's one of those, you need that. Like, if you want to fight for titles or fight for places in Europe, it's what you need to do, and it's nice to see it's gone our way once instead of going the other way, as it has done plenty of times this season.
True.
I think listen, we had Manchester United, Courtney, didn't we? Manchester City, all late ones. Barring that early sort of five games when we were scoring late. Yeah. So it's nice to feel as though, well, we're getting something back at an important part of the season.
Yeah, and Bournemouth too, obviously, which went against us. So cup half full is good to hear from all three of you, at least half full. Thank goodness for the coefficient, Gary. It gives us five Champions League places rather than the previous four. Might well need that.
I still think we'll get in top four.
Yeah, I do. With Villa, I assume you're thinking.
Yeah, well, I think Villa will fade away a little bit, and I think we'll come strong. I've always thought that. I still think that Liverpool, along with Arsenal and Man City, are the three best teams in the Premier League. Man United have done really, really well to get to the position they are. Chelsea, still a bit hit and miss at this moment in time.
As we saw this weekend.
Yeah, so I still think it's definitely there for Liverpool to squeeze into the top three.
Well, let's have a little look again at that fixture list, because on the one hand, you could say that's quite enticing from a Liverpool point of view. They've got easier games, arguably, than the other two. We've left Villa out for the moment. But it doesn't, as we've seen today, Phil, doesn't necessarily mean you're just going to walk through them.
No, it's, listen, we've gone through a period where we couldn't get a win.
No.
And we looked at a sort of maybe a 5 or 6 game run, and we've gone, they're all winnable. Mm. I don't think we were one of them.
No.
So this is the Premier League. This is what makes it so good. It's that teams near the bottom. Say Wolves have lost in the last minute today. They're making a fight of it. Just the wrong time for us coming up. But it is.
Got them in a cup as well.
Yeah.
That's right.
But they are games where you'd have to go, this team now, how we're feeling. I know it wasn't great the first half, but this team now, you feel a little bit more confident of going into games. And I think we're going to need it in this last run now.
Let's hear from the manager, shall we? I would hope a smile of relief for Arne Slot. Here he is with Pete McDowell.
Well, boss, it's not always possible to play brilliantly, but the results are all important, and it feels like a really big result that today.
Yeah, but if you say not possible to play brilliantly, then you have a positive feedback about our first half, because we played really poor. There was only one thing that we did well, that was defending our box, because Forest were the better team. But they did not, apart from after 3 or 4 minutes, create that many big chances. That was all down to the fact that we defended really well in our box. But that was the only positive thing about the first half. We lost almost every second ball. We couldn't hold the ball up front. Balls jumped off our feet. I don't know if that's good English, but we couldn't control the game at all. And but in the second half, the players showed mentality and also a different face in ball possession, because the second half, we were the better team, which usually then maybe leads to a draw, but at last, after 6 or 7 months, we had some luck again, because 6 or 7 months ago it was Newcastle where we were maybe a bit lucky, and 7 months later we are for the second time this season a bit lucky.
What do you do at half time? What do you say to them to make them look like a different team when they came out in the second half?
No, first of all, address how poor we've played, and that actually what I just said, highlighting that the only thing you did well was defending in our box, so that we should take that to the whole pitch. That we weren't aggressive, that we couldn't hold the ball, that it wasn't too complicated for everyone to play 5% better, and to maybe have a bit more mentality in the duels. Apart from that, you also try to tell a few things what we can do better on the ball. And I think that's also what happened in the second half. We were better able to bring the ball out from the back. And if you're better in that, then chances can come as well. And I've highlighted that would not be for the first time this season that the second half is much better than the first half, because we showed that against City as well.
You mentioned the word mentality before, to cope with the disappointment of that goal being chalked off, which I'm sure you're disappointed about, but then to go again, that is elite mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, I thought when he disallowed that goal in extra time, I was like, does it ever stop? does it ever stop that everything goes against us? Fair decision, maybe, but you feel that, that joy of scoring the goal, and maybe we didn't deserve it, but at last we got something, a bit of luck, and again it's ruled out. But then we had to defend one or two set pieces afterwards, and we did that really well, and in the end we also scored from a set piece, maybe, because it, Joe had a few long throw-ins already, now took it short to Dom. Now then you see a player with a lot of confidence because he was waiting, 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 made the ball free, gave a great cross, Virgil header, and not by a coincidence, Maka, who scored both, because he didn't play his best game for Liverpool ever, as no one did today, but the mentality he showed is what was needed today to win the game, and that's why it wasn't a coincidence that he was twice the player that scored the goal.
All the subs seem to make an impact. Rio will probably be the one that gets the headlines. He was fearless in what he did do in that cameo as well. You'd be delighted with him.
Yeah, brought him in off the left. But for 10 minutes, I don't think he even touched the ball. So so then I changed it. I changed Federico and Rio to play him off the right because our attacks went more over our right side than over our left. And he had, of course, that one great action where he outplayed, I think it was Nico Williams. And Hugo had a big chance, missed it, went in a rebound, but was disallowed. So yeah, it's nice for Rio, 17 years of age. There's no 17 year old in the Premier League playing, I don't even think an 18 year old, so for him to play that many minutes is already special. And then I think I said 7 months ago was the last time we were lucky, yeah. And he was involved in that goal in that moment, so so nice for him, nice for us, but not the best first half, but a good win.
Just a quick one, and luck again plays a part, doesn't it? You have to change your team because Flo is not able to play. You're hoping you're going to be lucky and that it's not too serious a problem, that?
We don't expect it to be. The good thing is we have 1 week before we play West Ham, but he didn't felt 100%, and he knows now, after being 7 or 8 months in this league, that no matter how good a football player you are, if you're not 100% and you cannot compete 100% in the duels, in the second balls, in the sprints, then it's impossible to play. And that's why we made the right call not to play him. The good thing was that with Curtis Jones, that line is provided really well. We have with Curtis a very good player that wasn't supposed to start, but could start now. And he played midfield later on to the fullback position. So if there was an injury, the best thing that could have happened was on the midfield, because for the rest we struggle a bit more.
Thank you, boss. Appreciate it.
On the slot with Pete McDowell. That hopefully sounds relatively positive on Florian Wirtz. We'll maybe know more in a day or two. An issue is what the club have told us in the warm-up, and wasn't 100%. Does what happened today in its entirety, do you think, affect his thinking for West Ham and the weeks to come in terms of who plays where, who starts?
Personnel-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
I think his hands are tied a little bit. As Tomo says, like, I think he might be of the mindset where he wants to just bleed Joe Gomez in on a gradual... ease him in, like, gradually. I still think that you've got to play him, though. I think we just look a better balanced side, like with Joe Gomez in the side, to be quite honest with you.
It must be a temptation.
Frimpong, I think, is back in training.
True.
As well.
True.
But it'd be another one who won't be. He won't want to risk him,
yeah,
because
yeah,
he's had so many injuries.
As well. Yeah.
I get it with Joe. Hopefully, another full week of training.
Yeah.
It'll be, he maybe put himself in a contention to start. The big thing about it is we need Dominic Szoboszlai in the midfield. He makes things happen and he does things. Taking him out to put him at right back, I think we've learned, takes so much away from that midfield area. And Curtis has come in and sort of made a decent fist of it, but he's not like... And the only thing is Joe's very much more defensive-minded. And you're not going to get that because we're playing at home going forward against West Ham. So it's going to be a difficult one for the manager to actually sort out.
It was telling to me watching as well today that in the absence of it, how much the team almost kind of looked to Szoboszlai in the middle of the park to set the wheels in motion, where perhaps it once was Salah and other players. Increasingly, I feel like it's almost like that they look to.
Well, he's certainly a key individual, isn't he? And without Florian Wirtz on the side, I think when you look at Wirtz is, I mean, he covers every blade of grass on the pitch, doesn't he? He's always available for a pass. He's one of these players that wants to take the ball, take responsibility in possession, regardless of if it's tight areas or not. So we maybe missed that a little bit. But I just thought the determination, the attitude, the effort, the commitment, all these like little things that are the nasty little things in the game was sadly lacking in the first 45 minutes. And we kind of got into a mindset where we just our two centre-backs are playing really, really well. Leave it up to them, basically. Yeah. I think going forward, Frimpong coming back will be a big help, I think. It gives you a little bit more pace down that right-hand side as well. But again, team-wise, team selection, I'm not 100% sure what he does.
The thing about it with Joe Gomez as well, if he is and he shows his fitness during the week, one of the big pluses today was the long throws near the end of that game. And I know people got long throws, but as we've seen against us, very much a weapon. Mm. And I think with Joe, at least, because you see Virgil and Ibu going up, so they must have confidence in him to get the ball to that 6 yard box. Rights or wrongs, puts a little bit of a pressure and causes more problems.
It was funny though, wasn't it? Because if you go back to the last couple of minutes, Joe Gomez lined up to take a long throw in, and he took it short
for the goal.
for the goal.
We both went, oh no, he's gone short. It's almost like steers one in, Van Dijk header, McAllister goal. That one counted.
It
was. It's a weapon that other clubs have used, and why shouldn't we? And well, Joe brings that.
You can't beat it at the moment. You have to join it, don't you? The set piece era we're in is here at the moment, so you have to find a way to have weapons.
Yeah, it has, and as the boss just said there, compliment to the centre-backs, under a lot of pressure because we couldn't keep hold of the ball, and the ball kept coming back, and they've defended the box absolutely brilliantly. And fair play to them, all their throw-ins, the corner kicks that they had, we've done our bit today.
Before we go, we should give our compliments to James Milner, shouldn't we, this weekend, who has broken that appearance record in the Premier League. I know, obviously, it was in a Brighton shirt, in a win at Brentford, but 8 years at Liverpool, which was a big part of his story. He's gone past Gareth Barry. I think we owe it, don't we?
Well, I think not just the amount of games, but the quality of clubs that he's been at, Leeds, big club at the time, Newcastle, Aston Villa, Manchester City, Liverpool. I mean, careers don't come any better than that, as you can see there. And plus the fact he's won a few things along the way, which is all credit to him. He's been a model professional. And I heard his interview earlier on today, and he still believes that he's got a little bit more to give.
Of course he does.
He's of good sort. And that was nice when he came to our football club. I always like people who are good people to have around. Maybe not playing all the time, but are proper professionals. Fair play to him. You're lucky he's played more games for us than any of those other sides. And he will be forever a legend at this club.
And that is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Saturday from Anfield with analysis and interviews after Liverpool take on West Ham. If you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts, so don't miss an episode when it drops.